We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we always do, holding out empty hands and pleading with you to fill them with food for our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the words you've given us, that they might strengthen our faith and guide us to eternal glory with our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verses 27 to 33, no answer. And they come again to Jerusalem. It's Tuesday morning now of Holy Week, the last week of our Lord before his crucifixion. And they were coming again to Jerusalem, Jesus and his disciples, who had probably been in Bethany the previous night, and they're coming into the temple once again. The day before this, the Son of God had evicted the money changers from the temple. And this was in the court of the Gentiles. And so now they come again to Jerusalem. Here they come, and they come walking in the temple as he was. There came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. This was an official delegation. Members of the Sanhedrin, the highest court of law in a Jewish people, the equivalent of our Supreme Court. And they come to confront Jesus. The court by now was filled with people, and when Jesus was walking through the court, he was going from one place to another, and he was preaching. Remember, this was Holy Week. The people were getting ready for the Passover. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people were in Jerusalem at that time. And there was a great crowd there. And the Sanhedrin members didn't come to arrest Jesus right now. They were afraid of the people. They wouldn't do that. But they came to trick him and to find something legally against him so that they could accuse him and legally arrest him and put him to death. So they come up, interrupt him, and they say unto him, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" Well, what things are they referring to? Oh, a lot of things. The most recent thing was the fact that yesterday he had kicked the money changers out of the temple and drove out those that sold oxen and doves. And this cost them big bucks. He had cleansed the temple, and he said, "It is written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Well, who gave you the authority to do this? What right do you have to come and upset our way of worship, which we've had for hundreds and hundreds of years? Who gave thee this authority to do these things? Well, there were other things too. It wasn't only the cleansing of the temple, but it was the recent raising of Lazarus from the dead. This had taken place only a few short days before this, and it happened within a bow shot of the holy city. And people knew about it. There was a great crowd of people that had come out to mourn with Mary and Martha, and they walked with them out to the cemetery. And they saw Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus and then crying out, "Lazarus, come forth!" And the dead man came out of the tomb. And some of the people immediately went back into Jerusalem and told the high priests what had happened. Well, who gave you the authority to do this? What right do you have to raise somebody from the dead? And it's not only that. On Sunday, Jesus had come into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey, and thousands of people had thronged him, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And the Son of David meant the Son of God. That was a messianic term. What? Who gave you the power to do this, the authority to do it? What right do you have to let people call you the Son of David? And they criticized him for these things. Not only that, but going back a little bit, all the miracles that Jesus had performed, one after the other, and some of the members of the Sanhedrin, by the way, had witnessed some of these miracles. And then all of his teaching, his whole ministry. Who gave you the authority to do this? Well, this is a videotape replay of what had happened about 3 years ago when they came to Jesus and then answered the Jews and said to Jesus, "What sign showest thou, seeing that thou doest these things?" Yeah, you're doing a lot of miracles, but who gave thee the authority and power to do it? And show us a sign. We want a sign. So now they come to Jesus, questioning his authority, and he said to them, "I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things." Well, the members of the Sanhedrin were very aware of the fact that Jesus Christ claimed to be the Son of God and that the authority that he had was from the Father himself. They knew that. But they're trying to trick him. And so he counters by asking them a question. And the question is this, and the agreement is, okay, you've asked me a question, I'm going to ask you one. You answer my question, and then I'll answer yours. And so the question that Jesus asked them was this. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it from heaven or was it of men? Answer me. Now, what's being done here is this. If these men gave an honest answer to the question Jesus gave them, they would have answered their own question. Because John the Baptist and Jesus were linked very closely together, not only physically, they were cousins, but John was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. In our terminology, Jesus is the bridegroom, and John the Baptist was the best man. And John the Baptist announced the coming of Jesus Christ. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's one among you right now. He's here. The one you've been waiting for 4,000 years, is here. He's walking the face of this earth, and he's among you." Okay, now, was this from heaven? Did God tell John the Baptist to say this? Or was John working on his own? And doing the will of other people? That's the question. And the answer would be, of course, well, you know, John the Baptist was sent by God, and the preaching that John did was the preaching that came from God, and the preaching that Jesus Christ did was the very same that John the Baptist preached. If you want to sum it up in one word, it would be repent. That's what John the Baptist preached, and the people didn't buy it. And that's what Jesus was preaching, and the people didn't buy that either. But they did feel that he was a prophet. So, okay, so now the Holy Spirit, in grace and love and mercy, does something that he does every now and then, and that is he takes us behind the scenes into the counsel of the ungodly. And very, very often, we are tremendously comforted by the words of the enemy. and how and what they're saying to each other in their private councils. So now Jesus has asked them the question, okay, well, what about John the Baptist? Was his ministry from heaven or was it of men? And now they have a little private consultation. They reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he's going to say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say it was of men, we're afraid of the people. They feared the people, for all the men counted John as being a prophet. So they're caught. This is what's called a dilemma. There's two horns there. Which way are they going to go? They're going to be caught no matter which way they go. It's a dilemma, and they don't know what to do. It's their own unbelief that catches them. If they'd be honest about it, if they were honestly searching for wisdom and understanding, it would have been no problem. They would have said, well, John the Baptist came from heaven. There's no question. His ministry was from heaven. There's no question about that. Well, they would be answering their own question then about Jesus. Who gave you this authority? Well, if God gave John the authority, then God gave it to Jesus too. So they can't answer that. If we say from heaven, they'll say, why didn't you believe him? So we can't do that. And if we say a man, the people are going to be really upset and we're going to be in danger. So they've got to make a choice. And so the choice is, this is amazing. They answered and said to Jesus, we cannot tell. We don't know. These are members of the Sanhedrin. Scribes, Pharisees. The scribes made a living by cutting their eye teeth on Scripture. They copied manuscripts every day of their working life. If anybody should know Scripture, it should have been them. And you know the Pharisees. They were some of the members of the Sanhedrin also. And they're teachers of the people. And the question comes to them, was John the Baptist's ministry from heaven or was it of men? And they said, we don't know. We can't tell. Art thou a teacher of Israel and knowest not these things? This is amazing. So then Jesus said to them, neither am I going to tell you by what authority I do these things. You didn't answer my question, and I'm not going to answer yours. It's a dangerous thing to cross swords with the Son of God. You don't walk away unscathed. We're going to go back right now to John chapter 3. Because some of these men were Pharisees and the members of the Sanhedrin, and it just happens that there's something happening in John chapter 3 that a Pharisee was involved, and we all know that John chapter 3 contains that beautiful verse, John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everybody knows that verse. And most misunderstand it. They say, oh, you know, God loved the world even more than he loved his Son. And he loves the world so much that he was willing to sacrifice his Son because of his love for us. And that's not what the verse is saying. God does not love the world more than he loves his Son. That's not it at all. You and I know already the first time that the word love occurs in Scripture is back in Genesis chapter 22. And God said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. This is a picture of Abraham sacrificing Isaac, the Heavenly Father sacrificing the Son. But the passage means more than God loves, Abraham loves his son Isaac. It means the Father loves the Son. God the Father loves his Son, Jesus Christ. And so when he sent him to the cross, there's a blessing in it for Christ too. And that's the main thing. Christ is honoring his Heavenly Father by being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the Heavenly Father is going to honor that because he loves his Son, and he's going to love. He's going to give his Son a bride. So that's all that starts with John. John chapter 3 starts this way. There was a man of the Pharisees. Okay, now some of the Pharisees were members of the Sanhedrin. And we know what the marching order of the Pharisees was, because there was the Holy Spirit tells us one time about the Pharisee walked into the temple and prayed, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, and like that publican back there. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. And God, you're lucky to have somebody like me to worship you. That was the attitude of the Pharisees. Holy, holy, holy. They thought they had 2 feet in heaven already. And if people thought that too, if anybody was going to be saved, it was the Pharisees. So here at night, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, one of the Jewish teachers, seminary professor in our terminology. The same came to Jesus by night. Well, and when the Holy Spirit tells us that, you know this already, he's not telling us that the moon was out and the stars were twinkling in the sky. That's true. He came under the darkness of night, but he was in spiritual darkness also. Here you had a member of the Pharisees, an old honored member who was a teacher of the Jews, and his soul was in darkness. Was the baptism of John of heaven or of men? We cannot tell. We don't know. So Nicodemus didn't know either. But he did know some things. He's an honest Pharisee. He came to Jesus and said, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know, we the Pharisees, we know this. What do we know? We know that thou art a teacher come from God. How'd they know that? For no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. They knew that. Now, they changed their tune later on in the gospel reading this morning. You found out that when Jesus was doing miracles at the end of his ministry, they said, he's doing miracles because he's in cahoots with the devil, and he's doing them by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. It all changed. But in the beginning, no. They saw that the miracles could only be done except a man be a man of God. So that's what Nicodemus says. We know this. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee. When Jesus prefaces a teaching with these words, it's a haymaker coming. This is something really important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. What? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again? And he's asking a question here because he wants an answer. He's not being defined. How can a man be born again? That can't happen. No, he's honestly asking, how can this happen? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And water, so often in Scripture, is a type of the Word of God, the water of life. So Jesus is giving honest answers to Nicodemus because Nicodemus is asking honest questions. And so Christ continues, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This shouldn't surprise you, Nicodemus. The wind, by the way, the Greek word for wind and spirit is exactly the same. So the wind on this earth is from the volume of nature, is a type of the Holy Spirit and his work. So the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it pleases, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whither it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. This is a miracle that you're witnessing. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there. And you can see what it does. And it's like power of the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can... This is a Pharisee. This is a seminary professor. An old man who's been in Scripture for years and years and years. And he asked the question, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're a teacher of the Jewish people and you don't even know this? No man can teach what he does not know. And then, verily, verily, I say unto you, here we go again. We speak, we as John the Baptist and Jesus, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. The term Son of Man is a messianic term. It means Jesus Christ. And then, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Get that. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The event that Jesus is referring to in the wilderness was when poisonous serpents were biting the people, and they were dying right, left, and in between. And God told Moses, make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole, a cross, if you will. And if anybody looks at that serpent in faith, they will be healed. They'll be saved. And that brazen serpent, brass in Scripture, is usually indicative of suffering. It pointed to Christ. This was a type. And you know, it was a type. And the antitype is Jesus Christ, who's going to be nailed to the cross ere the week is out. And Nicodemus is going to be there and he's going to see it. So, then we come to this very famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Nicodemus is listening to this. And by the grace of God, he believed it. He was one of God's elect, and he was plucked from the burning coals of fire. Because he came to Jesus and honestly asked questions. The other Pharisees didn't buy into it, but Nicodemus did. Later on, we find out that when the Pharisees were condemning Jesus, Nicodemus stood up for Jesus and said, is it our custom to condemn somebody before we listen to what he says? Are you also one of his disciples? And then, when he was on the cross, Nicodemus came with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body down and bury it. And you can bet that he didn't teach the seminary class the next day on Easter Monday, or the two days away, three. He got fired. He lost his job. You can't keep your job if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But anyway, but his soul was saved. That's what counts. So then, Jesus continues. He that believeth on him, the Son of God, is not condemned. Why not? Because his sins have been paid for. That's why. God didn't just forget about it and say, well, I'm going to forget about sins. I didn't really mean that when I said whoever sins is going to go to hell. I didn't really mean that. Oh, he meant it. But there's got to be a price. There's got to be paid one way or the other. And if you don't come to Jesus Christ and accept his payment for you, then you're going to pay for it yourself. That's the way it is. That's the way God has it set up. He that believeth him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see how important faith is? It's through faith that we receive all these blessings. And remember, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of man, lest any man should boast. And if you have a saving faith, and Scripture is meaningful to you, and you study it, and it talks to you, this is the Holy Spirit working in you, and the faith you have is by the Holy Spirit, and this is an indication that you're one of God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world to become a bride to the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. This wedding was planned back in eternity. And this is the unfolding of it. And this is the condemnation, Christ says, still talking to Nicodemus, that light is come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is part of John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is not only one verse, John 3:16. There's other verses also. Everyone, he continues, Jesus, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. It's not that, oh, we can take it or leave it. Oh, they can't take it or leave it. They hate it. They're going to fight against it. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's the end, it looks like, of what God said to Nicodemus that night. So he went back home and did some reevaluating by the grace of God. So then after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Anah near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. This is in John 3:16 now, it's not in Mark. So now in Mark we're on Holy Week, and John has been put away, but back then it wasn't. Okay. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples. John the Baptist had followers, they were called disciples, and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John, and they said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, they're referring to Jesus, and there's an animosity toward him on the part of the disciples of John the Baptist. They don't even want to mention him by name. That guy that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. He's sheep stealing. He's stealing your people. He started baptizing now like you're doing, and everybody's going to him instead of you. And these are disciples of John the Baptist that are saying this, and they're ticked off. They're upset. And John answered, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. This is something to remember. Do you have a lot of talent? Oh, that's all from God if you've got it. Do you have wealth? It's from God if you've got it. Do you have a family? This is from God if you've got one. You have children. Children are a blessing from the Lord. It's from God if you got one. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness. You were there, you heard it, that I said, I am not that Christ, but I'm come sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and that's Christ, not me. But the friend of the bridegroom, the best man, that's me, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And this is my joyous fulfillment. I'm glad that people are going over to Christ instead of coming to me. They're his bride. And I'm happy about that. And you should be too, disciples. You should be too. Okay. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is the life of every child of God. This is your life and mine. Jesus is Lord and Savior, not just Savior. And we obey him and he controls things. We don't have anything. He must increase, I must decrease. I don't have any time, it's not mine. The time that I have belongs to God and it's supposed to be used the way God wants it used. It's his, not mine. I don't have anything. I don't own anything. It's all his. And that's the way it is with John the Baptist. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, but no man receiveth his testimony. He came to reveal the Father to us. No, none of us have ever seen the Father, but he has. And he tells us what the Father's like, but nobody believes it. Why not? Well, they should, but they don't. He that hath received his testimony hath set to the seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. That's him. That's Jesus. I'm speaking the words of God, not my own words. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Now comes the key. The final verses of the chapter 3 of John. Not just John 3:16, but the final verses are these. I'm in verse 35 and verse 36. For the Father loveth the Son. That gets back to Genesis 22 again. First occurrence of the word love. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. So when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, told his disciples, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he's not kidding. He controls everything. And the final verse of John 3 is this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So, yes, God is a God of love, but let's not misunderstand that. He's also a righteous God. And the sin question is going to be dealt with one way or the other. And he that believeth on the Son, his sin, your sins are covered. You're not held accountable for them. The price has already been paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You're his bride. And he says later, everything that the Father has given me, I have given to her. We're his by marriage. What's his is ours. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's a very important lesson here that the godless Pharisees are teaching us in their vicious, vicious attack, the members of the Sanhedrin, I should say, their attack against Christ. And the message, the lesson is this. if you don't make use of the light you already have, God's not going to give you any more. You can't reject a clear teaching of God and then come to the Bible and pray for enlightenment and expect to get more light. Son of God preaches what he taught. One of the things he taught was, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. And that's what the Sanhedrin wanted. And Jesus practiced what he preached. You didn't answer my question, I'm not going to answer yours. And you know the answer to my question. You know it. You just don't believe it. So don't think that you're going to get any more. This is the point. If you don't make use of the light you have, you're not going to get any more. That's the key point.